Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 26, verses 23 to 28. Proverbs chapter 26, verses 23 to 28. The Bible says, "Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips, and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin." Well, now, in this particular passage, you find it's all connected. From verse 23 to 28, it's all connected. You've got a problem with a man's mouth, and you've got a problem with a man's heart. And they are pictured in verse 23 as burning lips and a wicked heart that are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. Now, a potsherd is a fragment or a piece of broken pottery. And you'll see that a lot of times whenever you've seen something that was fired and glazed, okay, and then it breaks. It'll shatter, and a lot of times it'll shatter. They'll say, you know, you'll heard somebody say, "Oh man, it shattered into a million pieces." Well, this will be one of those bigger chunks of it. And then it's covered with silver dross. Dross is the worthless material that is removed from the silver when it is refined. It's like lead or tin or something like that that's in the silver that comes out when it's refined. It'll float up onto the top, and then it can be removed. In this case, the potsherd, which is a fragment of a piece of pottery, and the dross, which is the worthless refined material from the silver, are combined so that the dross then coats the potsherd. Well, both of them are worthless. Both are absolutely of no value. Except, oh, in the case of Job, who used a potsherd to scrape himself after the devil attacked his flesh. And that's all it was good for. Otherwise, you would throw away the dross and you would throw away the broken pottery. So in this proverb, then, the covering, that is the silver dross, what comes out of the lips, the burning lips, the words that he speaks, those words cover what's underneath the man, a wicked heart full of hatred. So the words are the silver dross, and they cover the potsherd, which is the heart of a wicked man. Both of these are worthless refuse. That's what the Bible's saying. And you know, in this get along with everybody society that we live in, it's sometimes difficult to distinguish this guy who has the burning lips and the wicked heart. Because everybody tries to speak nicely to everybody else. In other words, you have to be a little bit tough yourself. You have to be a little bit mean yourself to smoke this guy out. Said another way, not everyone that talks rough or roughly is a bad guy. And not everybody that talks smoothly is a good guy. You got to kind of really pay attention here. For instance, a fellow that's rude, like Paul was rude. I mean, if you read about Paul and you read his own testimony, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 6, he said, "But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been throughly made manifest among you in all things." Paul said, I'm rude in speech, but you know me. I'm manifest in all things. You know right where I stand, he said. So, when you're looking at somebody like that, who talks roughly and is rude in his speech, just because he's that way doesn't mean that he's a bad guy, particularly if he's not covering up something. Okay? Now, Paul was not covering up anything. He said, we have been throughly made manifest among you in all things. You see that? In other words, you guys know exactly where I stand. All right? Paul loved the Corinthians. Though he was rude in speech, he loved the Corinthians. He said, the more I love you, the less I be loved. But they knew his heart's motive. They knew where he stood with them. And they knew where they stood with him. You see, it's the guys who sweet talk you that you have to watch out for. Those are the ones that can get to you. And remember now, not all guys that are kind in their speech and not all men that are well-refined in their speaking are bad guys by any stretch of the imagination. But many of them are. And those are the ones you have to watch out for. Look in Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. And look at verses 17 and 18. All right, in Romans 16, verses 17 and 18, the Bible says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Now, how do you identify them? Verse 18, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. You see why you got to watch out for them? Because they use good words, they use fair speeches, but they'll deceive the hearts of the simple. So you really got to watch out for them. And remember, I know I'm being extra careful here, but not everybody that's rude is a good guy, and not everybody that speaks softly is a bad guy. By the same token, some men who are very, very loving and kind speak very rude and directly, rudely and directly and roughly to the people to whom they speak, because they don't want to be mistaken for one of these deceivers. And by the same token, some of the men that speak smoothly and kindly and with good words are wicked as hell. That's all. You got to put it just as plain as can be. Now, I remember when I first started in the radio broadcasting back in the mid-90s, I tried so hard not to be considered one of the deceivers with good words and fair speeches that I absolutely went overboard with it. I mean, I've told you that before. And over the years, have really just tried much more to be just straightforward with you, the way that I am with you, the way that I am at home, the way that I am in the pulpit, to let you know that this is what it is. And what you're hearing is that's what you're going to see if you see me live or you see me in, or you see me or hear me on the radio. It's going to be the same thing. I'll just speak to you directly about the matters and show you in the Bible where you can find the things. Okay? But even still, toning down the broadcast as much as I have, there are still people who have called and said that they don't think I love them because of the way that I speak. Well, don't misunderstand the directness and the solid authority in the authorized version of the Bible for not caring about your soul. If I didn't care, I would lie to you to take advantage of you. But I care enough, we care as a ministry here, enough that you get the truth, that we're going to speak to you directly about it, and we're not going to ask you to pay a dime for it. That's why you never hear anything about money here on this broadcast, as that is money that we're trying to raise for us or for anybody else. This is all about the truth, and it's all about trying to help you. We don't want you to misunderstand us, and that's we leave the money out of it, so you understand our motive is simply to glorify God, to edify the saints, and when we preach salvation, to bring the lost to Jesus Christ. Now, from the text, what do we detect about this kind of fellow, this fellow with burning lips and a wicked heart? What do we detect about him? All right, today, here's what we're going to do. Today, we're going to look at the dross. We're going to look at what covers the wicked heart. We're going to look at his words. Tomorrow, we'll look at the potsherd that is covered by these words. We'll look at the heart. And today, when we look at the dross, the thing that he uses to cover his heart, we find several things that identify this man or this woman. The first thing is dissimulation. It's found in verse 24. I know it's a big word, but it's a great word. Dissimulation. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 24, he that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. All right, he dissembleth with his lips. Now, what does that mean, to dissemble with his lips? It means, the phrase today is doublespeak or two-faced. It means that he talks out of both sides of his mouth. It means that he says one thing to one group of people and something exactly the opposite to another group of people. He talks one way to the one group and another way to a different group. There's another place in the Bible where the word dissimulation is used, and it makes it very clear what dissimulation is. That place is found in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. The word is dissimulation. It's an excellent word, though you might not be familiar with it, and it's one you certainly want to use. Now, Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. All right, now Peter had gone to preach to the Gentiles about the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And when he, you know, wasn't supposed to. He's a Jew. I mean, he's not supposed to have any contact with the Gentiles, but God directed him that way. You've seen that when he went down there to Cornelius' house, okay? Now, James wanted to send some folks down to check out about this Gentile salvation. And before James sent those fellows down there, Peter ate with the Gentiles. You see, in verse 12, he ate with the Gentiles. But when they were come, that is, the people that came from James, the people that came from Jerusalem, when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. In other words, he and whoever was with him in his company, like Barnabas, separated themselves from the Gentiles so that the Jews would perceive that these men were still abiding by the law and the tradition. Verse 13, Galatians chapter 2. And the other Jews dissembled, there's the word, the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. It's hypocrisy is what it is. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? So the dissimulation was hypocrisy, to pretend that they were still abiding by the terms of the law and tradition, keeping separated from the Gentiles, when in fact they really weren't doing that at all, and the whole group got carried away with it. That's dissimulation, and that's a real good example of it. So, in the case of our potsherd who is covered with silver dross, what he does with his lips is that he pretends. He is a hypocrite. That's what he does. And this guy pretends to like the group that he really hates. Verse 24, he that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. Now, a real good example of this would be take back during the civil rights movement. Let's say you've got a fellow who, for political advantage or for personal advantage, would side up with the group that was in favor of civil rights, speaking very kindly to the people that were involved, even if they weren't of the same nationality that he is, and or the same race that he is. And so he talked real sweet and kind to him. And then, after he got what he wanted from them, in private, with people that know him for what he really is, then he begins to disclose how he really feels about the people that he was associated with, so that the close group knows that what he's trying to do is just simply take advantage of this group. The other group, they don't know, because they've been sweet-talked. They've been they're in the company of a hypocrite. They're in the company of somebody who's pretending to be their friend, when in fact he hates them, care nothing to do with them at all. He simply wants their money or their position or their vote or whatever it may be. That's an example of what happens with this type of individual. All right, so he's clearly a deceiver. Another good example would be somebody who pretends to be a Christian. I'll tell you somebody who did this. Jehu did this. If you read it back there in the Old Testament, Jehu called together all the worshipers of Baal and pretended to be a worshiper of Baal himself and put on the vestments and got everybody in there and said, yeah, as a matter of fact, if you see anybody around here that's not a worshiper of Baal, get them out of here. Well, he hated the worshipers of Baal. But They didn't know that because he was dissimulating. He was using his lips to pretend that he was really in favor of them. Boy, they were all for this deal, and they had a great big worship service going on. And when he got the doors finally closed and all of the non-worshippers of Baal out of the building, then he sent the army in. They destroyed every single person that was in there. That is a perfect example of this guy. Jehu hated the Baal worshippers, but used his lips to pretend that he was really for them and wiped them all out, okay? So that's the first thing. That's the first bit of dross that covers this potsherd is dissimulation. He's a hypocrite. Second thing he uses, fair speech. Fair speech. Look at verse 25. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 25. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. All right, so what he's going to do, he's going to talk in the same way that a grown-up talks to a child, or perhaps the way that a gentleman talks to a woman. I remember years ago I was working, I think I've told you, pouring concrete with a fella, and I had to receive a phone call, and so his wife called me and said, you need to call such and such number. So I called the number, and I'm talking to the person. After I hung up, she said to me, were you talking to a woman? And I said, yes, as a matter of fact, I was. She said, I was just curious. She said, you seem to change your voice a little bit. And I thought that was kind of strange. I didn't even realize that I had done that myself, but I suppose that there was a certain gentleness in my voice in speaking to a woman that was there that I didn't recognize that wasn't there when I was speaking, for instance, to her husband when he and I were working together. You'll notice that on the radio a lot of times a preacher will be on and he'll speak and then his announcer comes on to sell you the broadcast for that date or any of the other what they call resource materials or whatever, and you'll listen to that guy speak and he speaks very gently. He's using fair speech to talk to you. And that doesn't necessarily mean the guy's a bad guy or trying to pull the wool over your eyes. But the way that he speaks is the way that somebody's going to speak like this. They may hate you on the inside. As a matter of fact, the Bible says there are seven abominations in his heart, but out of his mouth comes a very fair speech, the way that a grown-up would talk to a child to make you think that he's really very gentle and very compassionate, very favorable towards you. And he may not be at all. He may just want your money. He may just want an opportunity to get inside of your house and kill you or whatever the case may be. In Proverbs chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, we see an example of this. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 3 and 4 says, the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Man, you couldn't have figured that out at all. She's speaking with words that are smoother than oil, but what's in her heart is as bitter as wormwood and sharp as a two-edged sword. She's out to kill you, man. Look in Psalm 55. Psalm 55, you see another example of this. Psalm 55, watch what happens here now. Verse 21. The words of his mouth, now this isn't the strange woman, this is a man. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. So in both cases, there is a sword hidden by the words of the person that's speaking because they're using fair speech. Well, when you think of a strange woman and a sword and you think of a man and smooth speech with a sword, you know who you're seeing? You're seeing Mystery Babylon, the great whore of Revelation 17, and you're seeing the Antichrist. That's why Paul gave the warning of Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, that the man that's going to deceive you is going to use good words and fair speech. All right, here's the third thing that you'll see. This is the third bit of dross that covers the potsherd. Deception. We saw it first in verse 24, and we see it again in verse 26 of Proverbs 26. Whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Notice, his hatred is covered by deceit. In other words, he's going to use deception. He says what he says, the way that he says it, in order to deceive you. What it is, it's the old stereotype. I say that carefully. It's the old stereotype of the used car salesman. In other words, you may be or may know of a used car salesman that's very honest. That's you know, that's great. I mean, we need more of those. Like we need more straightforward, honest preachers. Okay, so the thing is, the stereotype, though, was of a used car salesman that deceived his prey into buying a clunker. So the Lord warned against deception. And the Lord warned against this deception more as we near the time of his return. For instance, when the disciples were asking him about the signs of, you know, the last days and the coming of the Lord and that kind of stuff, he said the first sign was deception. Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 and 5. He said, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Notice, they come in my name saying, I am Christ. You see that? They use their words to deceive, saying, I am Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, when we find a good passage on the warnings of our present day that were given to Timothy, like when perilous times shall come and all that other kind of stuff, in that same context, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13, we find this: "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." In other words, once he becomes a liar, it's easy for him to believe a lie. Deceiving and being deceived. You see, a magician uses deception to fool you into thinking that what you have just seen really happened the way that you saw it. But in fact, it didn't happen the way that you saw it. It happened another way that did not involve magic. It involved a very carefully coordinated stage production so that you begin to believe what you're seeing when in fact, you know, there's a reasonable explanation for the thing that just happened the way that it happened. And that's what a magician uses. He uses deception to fool you. So, likewise, this guy is going to use words, deceiving words to fool you and get you to believe that what you're hearing is really true when in fact what you're hearing is a lie. You're not hearing what's really going on. And the only thing that can dispel the trick is the truth. That unwinds the deception, lets you see how it really happened. Sometimes a magician will show you how he actually made the trick happen. And then you go, oh, okay, I get it. All right, here's the fourth thing that he does with his lips. Here's the fourth bit of dross used to cover the potsherd of a wicked heart. Lies, just out and out lies. Verse 28, "A lying tongue hateth." Do you understand what's underneath him? Hatred. "A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it." So in other words, this guy will just out and out lie to you like the Pharisees did to Jesus. When Jesus Christ was speaking to the Pharisees in John chapter 7 and John chapter 8, they were lying to him. You know, "Who goeth about to kill thee? Thou hast a devil." And they were already plotting his death. So he says, "You are of your father the devil." That's what he told him in John chapter 8, verse 44. Well, what's the deal with the devil? He's a liar. "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So a deceiver, this kind of guy that we're studying here, will lie to you out and out. Now, in a very crude sense, we see this same thing that takes place all the time with teenage boys and girls. He says to her, "I love you," and she melts. The whole time, he is simply interested in one thing, and you know what that is. And so when he gets that, then suddenly he goes to brag to his boyfriends about all the things he was able to accomplish with this girl. She thinks that he really loves her, and he thinks that he has just conquered another victim to fulfill his sexual desires. He didn't care anything for her. He'll dump her like a bad habit the next chance he has for another conquest. Don't think that this is a joke, because Amnon convinced Tamar to come into his home because he loved her. He was lovesick. after he raped her, he hated her with more hatred than he loved her before he had her. That's what's going on. This fella here hates the person that he's lying to, but he doesn't care. If you're smart, you can catch him in his lie. You say, how to do that? Just don't believe what he says until you've checked him out for yourself and thoroughly checked him out to be sure that there is nothing about what he says that's inconsistent with the truth, because he's going to lie to you. Now, concerning preaching and the radio broadcast, television broadcast, pulpits and things like that, there are preachers that some of whom lie more than they tell the truth, but you don't catch them because they use things that you have so accepted as the truth that you really believe what they're saying is the truth, and they're lying to you. And the only thing that's going to smoke out the lie is a thorough reading of the scriptures and a belief of what God said and a distrust for what they're saying until you know what they're saying is the truth. When a man says, the original Greek says, he's lying to you. He's never seen the original Greek, not a day in his life, but you've come to accept that phrase as the truth. All of the original writings are gone, and that's just a phrase that's used today so that a man can change the words of God to make the words say what he wants them to say. All right, then finally, what he'll do is he'll flatter you. Verse 28, the last part, a flattering mouth worketh ruin. The purpose of the flattery is to set you up so he can ruin you. And a man that flatters, according to Psalm 5, verse 9, is wicked as hell. And the Lord cannot stand his flattery. The Jews tried to flatter the Lord, but the Lord didn't have any of it. He knew their heart. And when a man's flattering, he sets a net for your feet. He is absolutely up to no good. He has one intention. He wants to get you thinking about how good you are and how good he is to compliment you so that he can take advantage of you. And you can be sure that his heart is not right with God. Now, those are the five things of the dross that covered a wicked heart: dissimulation, fair speech, deception, lies, and flattery. Don't believe any of it. Check him out. Check him out with the words of God before you believe anything that he has to say.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.